Holy One, who created the sun and the moon and the stars, help us today to experience the grand abundance that you have given us, to experience the blessings in our lives, and to offer to you thanksgiving. Gracious God, be with us in this time of reflection, that our hearts may beat for you and our minds be open to your presence, that we may live the lives that you call us to. Amen. What are you thankful for? Several years ago, I took up a practice, or attempted to take up a daily practice, of offering gratitude. Back then, there was a book that was very popular, Daily Gratitude. It was a big, thick book. So each day, it invited us, those people reading it, to write out the things that we were grateful for, and to keep writing out those things. As I started the week and that practice, the list looked the same week after week. I'm thankful for my work and the kids that I work with. I'm thankful for Mike. I'm thankful for the food I have. But as I started to take it seriously, started to walk into it more deeply, started to really consider how my day was being affected by those around me and by the things I said and did, that list developed, became more specific, became more detailed. I'm thankful for the way that the dishes got done by my sister and how she made a wonderful meal. I'm thankful for the man who stopped on the corner when I fell and dropped all my books and helped me pick them up. I'm thankful. I suspect that your lists often look like mine do, especially when I get to the things that show up regularly on my list. Those trusted friends, my cozy bed, a wonderful musical song that just spoke to me that day. For me, I'm really excited about the spaghetti dinner. Pasta is one of my favorite foods, so I'm grateful for that. I could go on. We could be here all day if I was to share everything I'm grateful for. But Thanksgiving, in the life of faith, Thanksgiving isn't enough. Let me show you what I mean. I need mic two, or mic one, sorry. Let's say that every drop of water I pour into this cup represents something that you or I are thankful for. And as I pour, I invite all of us to think silently in our hearts and give thanks for things. Let's let those blessings flow as we offer them to God. All right. So the choir, I'm not going to turn around because I don't want to spill this all over everyone. But trust me when I say that We've now filled this glass to the brim. Have we filled and shown all of God's gifts to us? The abundance of God's presence with us? No. That's true. God's blessings are endless. They go around and round and round. So how do we let those thanksgivings spill out? How do we let God's abundant spirit live in us? It is one thing to be thankful. It is another to live in a spirit of thanksgiving. I'm sure that the priests in Jesus' Good Samaritan story, the one who passed by the man beaten on the side of the road, could have rhymed off things that he was thankful for that exact moment. That exact moment while he was crossing over to the other side of the street. And same too with the Levite. Maybe both could have filled up a gratitude journal fatter than the one that I was writing in and expressed thanksgiving for their status in life. If they were asked, they might have said that they had appreciated a trusted friend, their warm bed, a sunrise, that song that they sing in the morning, or maybe even chocolate. But their thanksgiving didn't go anywhere beyond themselves, at least not in that moment. It didn't flow into their lives. It is one thing to be thankful. It's another to live in a spirit of thanksgiving, isn't it? What made that Samaritan compassionate? I wonder. What made him bandage up a stranger's wounds? What made him pour out his oil and his wine and offer up his donkey and book him into an inn and pay for it all himself? Jesus doesn't give us that part of the story. He just says, go and do likewise. He says, be that kind of neighbor. Let the love I pour into you pour out of you. That is what he says in a nutshell. The question that categorizes Jesus' story is pretty simple. It comes from a legal expert. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I don't know about you, but when I think about eternal life, I don't imagine a mansion with pearly gates on a hilltop in the clouds. I think about the way that we live here and now. I think about the way that we live on, our legacy. I think about how I love and what difference that makes. Now I imagine that innkeeper would tell about the Samaritan, because this man went to great lengths to help a Jewish victim. You probably know, but I'll remind you, that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. In fact, that might be the understatement of the century. Think radical Israeli and Palestinian. At arms, at fighting with each other. That is the kind of animosity that was between the two, a racial feud that had been going on for years. So I can imagine him gossiping. You'll never believe what happened. This man, a Samaritan, brought in one of our fellow Jews. And he paid for everything. He gave me 2 denarii. And this is no joke. That was a huge thing. 2 denarii was a lot of money. That innkeeper probably would have seen lots in his work. But this experience, this story, would have rattled the lives of the people around him as he told the story. It would have cracked open his world. Would have let a little bit more light in. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you've seen or witnessed somebody do something so amazing, so utterly kind and generous that it made you stop and think? Something so loving and astonishing that it changed your life? For sure, the victim on that road, life would have been profoundly changed in that moment. As a Samaritan knelt down in the dust before him. And again, as he was tenderly wrapped in clean bandages, and again in that moment where oil was poured and wine was poured out, that Samaritan would have been changed as he let a stranger ride his donkey, as he opened his wallet. And again, each and every time he thought about that moment for the rest of his life. Being kind and generous changes our lives, changes the lives of those around us. How can we not help but be even more kind because of the Samaritan? How could that Jewish man not go out into his life and think differently about all Jewish people? How could he have not have remembered how this man, who was sworn enemy, saved his life and respond? Jesus doesn't tell us what happened to these characters in his story. He doesn't say what possessed the Samaritan to help a stranger or to look at others' lives. He does not tell us about the relationships within the community. He just tells us to go and do likewise. And we are called today not only to be thankful, but to share our thanksgiving, to smile from the soul. Because it is one thing to be thankful, and it is another to live in a spirit of thankfulness. So in the next few weeks, as we explore how we are living out that thankfulness of God, how we are pouring ourselves out into the world, let us remember this story of 2 men on an unnamed road between Jerusalem and Jericho. Let us remember how we pour our life out for each other in Christ's name. Let us remember that there is someone on our road who is in need of our generosity, our life pouring of God's love.